Blog Talk Radio.
Want to give a special shout out to CIF Defensive Player of the Week, Taylor McCullough, who is one of the newest Revolution players. But I got special guest Jordan Brown on the line on the next Revolution Zone presented by Impact Media. And that's right, we are standing on the edge of a revolution, or at least the Revolution Zone. Appreciate Nickelback letting us borrow that song for a few seconds. In case Chad Kroeger gets bored, I guess he can send some legal papers my way, but why not? Nobody listens to Nickelback anymore. I'm helping them out. But I am Jeremy the Impact York. I'm going to quit clowning around now. I am Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us here in the Revolution Zone. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio and Impact Media. I want to get straight to my special guest, though, without further ado. I do want to bring on running back Jordan Brown of your Texas Revolution. Jordan, you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I apologize. That was not my best intro, but we will go with it today.
You did awesome, man. Awesome.
I appreciate it. Well, first of all, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, enjoying this off day, just got off work, honestly just really excited about this interview. I've been thinking about it all day, what questions I'll be asked, so it's such an exciting experience to invest in the Revolution and the Impact Zone.
Well, I definitely appreciate you giving us a few moments of your time, and I'll get to the really fun questions, the ones you may or may not know about later on. As a thing I started with Revolution Zone was, whoever my previous guest was is coming up with a few questions for the current guest. So after we get through all the fun ones that we've discussed beforehand, Mr. Brett Reese Jr. has four questions that if this was his interview, he would want to ask you. So we'll get to those a little later.
Okay.
And then when we get to there, I will also break the news as to who you will be coming up with questions for, because we have next week's guest already lined up as well.
Sounds good.
We try to stay ahead of the game.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I always stay a couple ahead of your opponent. Always works out for you.
Absolutely. And it seems to be a favorite segment among the fans that listen in. They like listening to what you guys would ask each other, so... So it always turns into a good thing.
Absolutely.
But let's start with the easy question here. Just kind of tell us your story to this point, how you become one of the star running backs for the Texas Revolution.
Well, good question. I started off playing football when I was 6 years old in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I was born. My first position was actually center. I was the number 50 playing for the Tabco Raiders. And then I moved on to playing at the Jazz Club Football League in Indianapolis, playing for the Eagles, who were ironically my favorite NFL team. I know a lot of Dallas people don't like that, but hey. My family is from Philadelphia, so I have to have blue-green in my heart. Playing for my dad and a couple of his friends, won a couple of championships there. My dad got a new job out in Connecticut, specifically Glastonbury, Connecticut, where I went to play for the youth football program there, where I had to make my name for myself. I remember the story. Dad went and signed me up for football, and they asked what position I played. And they said, oh, he plays running back. Just find a place for him. He's always wanting to be out there and just having fun with everybody. And the coaches that I would be playing for that year said, oh, we're all set at running back, but we'll find a space for him. So he just said, okay. Didn't want to start any drama, any problems with anybody. A new town. Long story short, I came in the first scrimmage and scored 4 touchdowns. And from then on, in the preseason all the way throughout, I was starting. And that kind of carried on throughout my life. I've always had the ability to stand out through my coaches and always getting better and trying to be the best player I could be. That transferred into the high school level, where I played at Glastonbury High School, where I was able to start as a freshman midway through my freshman year. We had an up and down first couple years, and then my junior year we started to get it together. And my junior year was a happy time, but then halfway through the season, I tore my ACL, my MCL, and my meniscus, which they call unhappy triad. For those who follow football, especially high school football, especially down here in Texas, your junior year is your most important year. And I was getting numerous letters from Division I-A schools. I thought I was invincible, thought I was Superman. And God put me in my place and put me in a serious place. And I was able to refocus my mind, put my mind on my books, refocus my training habits, and really thank the people who got me to where I was at. And came back my senior year after a long, strenuous rehab session of about 7 months. Came back my senior year, helped my team win a state championship, first time in about 11 years. First 13-0 team to come out of Glassbury High School. And frankly, I think we'll be the only team to come out of Glassbury High School undefeated. I was able to earn a scholarship to Bryant University in Rhode Island, Smithfield, Rhode Island. It's a small 1AA school, up and coming. Shout out to my Bulldog, Coach Fine, probably one of the best coaches I've ever played for. He taught me so much of the game, on and off the field. I was able to have a very, very successful career out there. A couple highlights. I was a 2-time All-American. I finished 9th in the Walter Payton Award, which is the Heisman Trophy for the 1AA level.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And ultimately finished with 14 school records under my belt. For those who know college ball, no matter where you're from and no matter where you play, if you're good, the NFL will find you. I had 29 NFL teams come check me out at my school, interview me, practice, watch me at practice, ask my coaches, even sent some letters to my high school coaches asking questions about me. So the NFL does do their homework for all the young guys listening. As far as making it to the NFL, I was one of those guys that they labeled as a tweener. I really thought I was going to get drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in the 6th round, but unfortunately, that not come to fruition. But I personally think I ended up in a better place with the Texas Revolution, just because it taught me a lot more about the game, and God definitely wanted me to be here just to learn a little bit more about the on and off the field actions. And he personally thinks I wasn't ready, and now I think he's preparing me for something better. I'm happy that I'm with Duvez, especially with last year, how it went, and to see how the progress has gone from last year to this year. And this is my second year, definitely going a lot better than it did last year, and I look forward to continuing this season and on to next year.
Wow, that's quite a story. You already have probably 2/3 of a really good book going here.
Man, I'm trying, man. It's God is the number one on that one. But football is life to me, and I mean I have it tatted on me right now on my right shoulder, and it has saved me from a lot. It has taught me a lot, and it's also humbled me. And I can definitely say that football is something I would take to my grave. To the day I die and beyond.
And I like the way you look at things too. You stay positive. That's something that we definitely do here at Impact Media, because a lot of people ask how we got the name that way, and it's basically because some people in life make impressions, others kind of go the extra mile to make an impact. And and part of making an impact is staying positive, even when, like you said, there's so many different names for I've heard the triad, I've heard the big three. When you do tear those three ligaments, because you only have four in your knee, and when you tear three out of four, that's the trifecta for sure. And the fact that you've able to been, you know, just to come back to this point is just a miracle. And like you said, you have a higher purpose.
Oh yeah, I definitely think it was a very tough time for me. I remember the hit. It was a 32 quick trap. I really don't like doing the move, but hey, we were playing one of the better teams in our conference, and we definitely had the team to beat them this year. And I was really, really hyped up about the game. It rained before that, the night before, so the field was a little muddy, a little sticky. Running through the hole, and a guy jumped on my back. I tried to go down, but my foot got caught in the turf, and some guy actually dove at my knee, and it went the wrong way. I heard a nice little pop. It was a pop that I never heard before, and my knee swelled up in a way, and it felt the way I never felt it before. One of my best friends, John Pinone, he told me, "Get up, man, get up." I said, "Bro, I can't get up." I tried my best. I tried to walk it off, and I felt right back down. It was probably the most helpless I've ever felt in my life, especially on a stage of the football stage. And they came out and got me. Funny story on that, I went to go get diagnosed by the doctor who ended up doing my surgery, Dr. Thomas Dugdale, in his driveway. He was mowing his lawn. My best friend's dad, R.J. DeRosa, Mr. DeRosa, he called up because he worked for him, called him up. Said, "Hey, I got a player." Went down, Jordan Brown. I need you to look at him. We don't know what's going on. We definitely heard a pop in his knee, and all signs are pointing toward ligament damage, but we just want to make sure. We drove over to his house. He told me to lay down in his driveway. He did an assessment, and he said, "Yeah, it looks like you tore your ACL and maybe something more." Ended up going to get an MRI that Monday morning, and it was called an unhappy triad, and that's where the crumbling happened. I cried a little bit. I'm not ashamed to tell everybody, the whole world, that I did. But hey, I thought the whole world was over. You can't tell a high school kid that was on his prime that, hey, you're going to tear your ACL and you're basically going to have to start all over again and have 1 year to prove yourself. I mean, you would get a little emotional too. But hey, it's all about coming back and trusting in the Lord and trusting your teammates. And I came back and I did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think you've definitely done a good job coming back from something like that, because a lot of people don't get up from it. You did say that your favorite team growing up was the Eagles, so...
Oh, Philadelphia Eagles, baby. What? Fly, Eagles, fly. All my Dallas people did that.
Well, then we're going to talk about the Eagles for a second then, because I get these kind of questions all the time, because one of our other shows is currently bi-weekly, but we cover... we cover 31 of the teams, because the back half of the team is about the Falcons, which is one of our home markets for Impact Media, too. But
okay.
The thing we get a lot of time with the big show, with the other big show, is what are the Eagles doing? And is Chip Kelly a genius, or is he throwing darts at the wall here? And I'll get your answer, and then I'll tell you what I've told people.
Okay. Well... he got rid of my favorite player, LeSean Shady McCoy. I was a little hurt by that. I was in my car with my girlfriend, and the text or update, whatever you call it, comes through, and I just screamed and yelled, and I said, "This would be the worst day ever." And she said, "What?" I said, "LeSean McCoy just got traded to the Bills." And when you talk about business moves, that's all about the business side of it. Chip Kelly has taken control of all football decisions. So you have to say that he is a genius for that, because any coach will want to have all control of who is on and off their field, especially a head coach.
Absolutely.
Now, the moves that he's made, I mean, I personally think he could have kept either Deshaun or Jeremy Maclin, just because of what Jeremy Maclin did last year. He really proved himself after coming off an injury. And he really wanted to be an Eagle. Unfortunately, that he is now with Kansas City Chiefs. More power and good luck to him. But I think our draft and the players that we picked up in free agency, especially in the cornerback position, and not even the corner, secondary alone, has definitely put us in good standing in the NFCs on the defensive side. Now, offensively, I think we got the next best option with DeMarco Murray, and it definitely has taken a big shot to the Cowboys. Now, say what you want. I was hoping that the Cowboys, because I am a football fan at heart, would have taken a running back, especially either Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, or a couple of the other ones. But for some odd reason, they decided not to do that. But they had an excellent draft as well. But it's a big hurt, a big hit on their backfield because you lost the offensive MVP and the NFL's leading rusher. And he's on your arch rival. Chip Kelly does like a lot of one-cut downhill running back, as you can see with all his players at Oregon, starting from LeGarrette Blount all the way to Kenyon Barner to Deion. I forgot his name. Plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. They call him the Black Common, I think, something like that. But he's awesome. But they're all one-cut running back. Downhill, read the hole, and that's what DeMarco Murray is.
Right.
Sean McCoy is a fabulous back. And I personally think that the offense that will work best for him is the Eagles' offense. But for some odd reason, and Chip Kelly is the only one that knows this, he had his reason. Because if he really wanted to keep him, he would have made sure that LeSean McCoy was signed. As far as Kiko Alonso, Kiko is probably one of the better linebackers in this league. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL last year, and all signs point towards he is healthy and ready to go for this year. I am very optimistic to see where Philadelphia goes this year. I am very, very hoping that we get past the first round of the playoffs. But I'm also optimistic on seeing where we are in the Super Bowl because it's close. I see it. We've been close for quite some time now. We got there in 2004. Unfortunately, we lost to the Patriots, who are an excellent franchise, as you can see from last year. But we're there, and I think Chip Kelly is doing an excellent job. And like I say to everybody who ask me this question, and Chip, I trust. And Chip, I trust.
I definitely like that. And that's, I didn't necessarily say in Chip, I trust, because I tell people that based on the fact that I do have to cover all 32 teams, I pretty much have 32 favorite teams. I do favor a couple over others, but yeah.
Okay.
For everybody that says Chip's crazy or how he's throwing darts at the, you know, blindfolded at the wall trying to figure out what to do, we question every year and every single move that Bill Belichick makes, and we won't even get into how much air pressure is in a ball because we really don't want to waste people's time for the rest of the night. But every personnel decision that the Patriots make, Bill Belichick is the GM and head coach, just like Chip Kelly is of the Eagles. We keep questioning Belichick all these times, and every time he just keeps hoisting trophies. So at some point, Chip is like kind of the up-and-comer of that level. It's just he's already making the surprising moves, and you know, time will tell as to how these pan out. But I, for one, have pretty much been a fan of all the stuff he's been doing.
I agree. I mean, when a team or a coach comes in, any head coach from any different level, they come in, what's the first thing head coaches do? They try to bring their guys in and the people they feel can fit in their system and to win. And obviously, it's a little bit more magnified when you're on the NFL level compared to either an arena level or even a NIA Division II, whatever kind of school. But at the same time, Chip Kelly and Bill Belichick, the Patriots and Eagles had joint practices last year during the preseason.
Right.
Patriots and Eagles play this year in New England. Chip and Bill Belichick are very good friends, okay? And to be honest with you, and just to say, a lot of coaches are very good friends outside of the game that you guys don't see. And they talk a lot. I mean, my head coach in college used to say he was friends with all head coaches. And you always, and as a player, you're wondering, why? Well, why are you coaching here? Why don't you just coach with him down at a bigger school? All coaches want to be a head coach at some time and want to make sure they call the shots. But all of them want to model themselves and model their programs after all the championship programs because it works. So Chip is doing what the New England Patriots are doing. It's just more magnified because he's basically taking a lot of the big-name players and getting rid of them.
Right.
It's okay. But we'll see what happens.
I think the term that people like to use is the process is bigger than the pieces.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that's even something, you know, like I mentioned on here a lot of times, my affinity for the pro wrestling world. It just goes back to a quote by WWE creator, owner, chairman, whatever all he is now, Vince McMahon, who's always said, nobody is bigger than the business. No matter how big no matter how big somebody gets, you're still just a cog in the machine of how this all works.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right about that. I'm 100% in agreement with that. Unfortunately, it goes, I mean, not to get off topic, but, I mean, college players getting paid. A lot of people, I was taking a class in college, and a kid who was a regular student decided, I don't think he knew he was in a class full of athletes, but he opened his mouth and he said, I personally think that college athletes get way too much. And it was a culture shock because you get a regular student talking about, well, why shouldn't I get my stuff get paid? Why do athletes get certain privileges than I do? Just because they play a sport, and it's all because it all evolves around what pieces each person puts into a certain project or big picture. And everybody forgets the big picture sometimes. And you got to understand that if these athletes aren't here, the amount of money that gets brought into the school to help pay your scholarship does not happen. Now, as far as the NFL, LeSean McCoy, especially with the Eagles, LeSean McCoy is a big piece of the Eagles. And we're surely going to miss him. But I definitely feel DeMarco Murray can come in and fill that void. So you're absolutely right about that, man. I'm 100% agreeing with that.
Well, and do you have any other favorite sports teams?
Yes, I do. I'm a little biased towards the Philadelphia teams. I am a Sixer fan. Unfortunately, we had a very terrible season. And I'm also a Philadelphia Phillies fan. But I do have a special – I do like LeBron James on the basketball side. As far as football, I love football. I mean, any team, obviously if the Eagles are on, but if the Patriots are on, I'm loving Tom Brady and how he controls the game. I love Peyton Manning. Antonio Brown of the Steelers, who was some of my favorite. Arian Foster, he is one of the running backs I really try to model my running style after. Very patient runner, hits the hole, does not get too cocky. I mean, you don't see Arian Foster in the media at all, and he was undrafted. So his story and my story definitely correlate. As far as sports, there's really football and basketball. I am a big auto racing fan. Big auto racing fan, especially coming from Indianapolis. But as far as the as sports, football is it.
Well, who do you like in auto racing?
Ooh. Well, I am an Andretti fan. For those who are into auto racing, the IndyCar, I prefer the open-wheel IndyCars over the NASCAR, and it's specifically the Andretti family. They are such beasts. Unfortunately, they dominated the whole sport but the Indy 500, only having one win out of the five or six guys that have driven for the Andretti family.
Yeah.
But I'm a big, big IndyCar fan. And the Indy 500 is this weekend, so I will be watching. Best believe that.
Yeah, definitely so. I was going to say that's coming up, and that's something I like to watch, too, because especially down here in the South, NASCAR is big, and don't get me wrong, NASCAR is great, and it's really fun to be a part of that sometimes, but yeah, I'm an open wheel fan myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned earlier about college. Now,
yes.
That was Bryant University, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you were a business management and marketing major?
Yes, I was. Graduated in 2009 with a business management degree and a minor in psychology.
Wow, we would definitely get along. Psychology's always kind of been a hobby of mine, but business management and marketing are my degrees as well.
Okay, nice, nice. Where did you go to school?
I went to a couple schools out in Georgia, but I got my degrees from Chattahoochee Tech.
Okay. Okay. Hey, you got the degree. No matter where it comes from, you got it.
Exactly. They still look just as pretty on the wall as anybody.
Absolutely.
But have you been able to apply some of the things you learned in your classes at Bryant University to your football career?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. It's more on the marketing yourself piece of it and being able to, especially with the Revs, obviously the arena team, it's always not a struggle, but a job to get more sponsorships and get more people knowing about the team. And especially in Dallas, Texas, I mean, we got the Cowboys, but after that, I mean, there's no other real football teams out here. So it's such an opportunity for us to get bigger and get more exposure. So that all correlates with marketing. The Revs have done a fabulous job of marketing this year. Shout out to Matt Lunsford on that piece of it. I have been blessed to be on two billboards. I'm currently on one off of 75, and that's marketing that they did not have last year. Which correlates to more people in the seat. I've definitely seen a change in attendance from last year to this year in a positive direction. I've contributed some of my marketing to support ideas for the Revs. And it is definitely a positive experience for that. And as far as psychology piece of it, knowing your opponent and studying your opponent and knowing what they're going to do, the certain tendencies, you can read people and you can read a team. And teams definitely take an identity and they run with it. Some take longer than others to find, but once they find it, they run with it. It could be a positive, it could be a negative. It could be one that leads you to a championship, or it could be one that leads you to a season that you want to forget. So it's really interesting on reading how teams are and certain players and who runs this and how the head coach. And a lot of teams do definitely take the demeanor and the the outlook of the head coach. So the head coach is a certain way, strong, demanding. A team will take that. And if a player coach is a player's coach, you'll start seeing the team that take that form and take that identity. So Coach Wyman, he is an excellent coach. He is he's been blessed by the Lord to take this position. I definitely have seen a change in the culture of the team once he took over from day one. And he is going back to the psychology piece of it. He's opened up our minds to a lot more than some of the previous coaches that we've had. Some of the previous coaches I've had in my past time, he's opened my mind up to a lot, and that all involves into the psychology piece of it. So I definitely think that my degree is correlated on the field as well.
I can definitely see that. Do you watch game film?
Oh, all the time. You have to. That's where it goes, what I talk about knowing a team. I mean, you can pick up so many reads, so many keys off watching film over and over again. It's like my dad used to tell me, when you want to remember something, write it down more than three times. You want to remember somebody's name, write it down. You want to remember something for a test, write it down. Just like game film. You want to remember when a team lines up in this set, watch film. You'll know what players can come out of this. And especially with arena, there's only so many plays you can run because there's only so many people on the field. So watching
right.
film is a definite benefit towards your success, not only as a team but as a player yourself.
And the main reason I bring this up is I like to ask all you guys this. So far, there has only been one of your teammates that appeared on this show, and he just happened to be one of the earlier guests, who says he doesn't really watch game film. He does more reactionary-based stuff. Do you have any idea who that is?
I honestly would not know, because when we get on the field, we all say yes, okay?
Exactly.
We all say yes. So you need to, for more reasons than not, trust me, I don't want to run. I don't want to get on the line and run a couple sprints, okay? But if that person is listening, I would hope they have changed that habit, because it can only hurt. I mean, it can only help, not hurt. I mean, the more you watch. And even then, I mean, if you do get a chance to move up, film is going to be your biggest asset to learn, to help yourself. When you're in the NFL, I mean, I have a friend that's in the NFL right now that played for the team last year. And I talk to him now, and he says all I'm doing is watching film and studying my plays. That's all he does. Forget it. But when he gets on the field, it comes second nature.
Well, in no way am I throwing this guy under the bus, because he was a great guest. But maybe you and some of the other players can help show him the true advantages of watching game film. And it leads me actually to my next question. That player being Darius Fudge, being the one who does not watch a lot of game film. What's it like sharing the backfield with Darius?
That is a great question. Fudge and I, we had a very interesting story, and I laugh about it because, I mean, I'm happy that we can laugh about it now, because Fudge is one of my friends down here. But last year, we weren't having a very successful season, and it honestly was. We always used to call it Black Monday, just like with the NFL. Once the season's over, they call it Black Monday. About six or seven head coaches get fired. So we always used to call it Black Monday after every game, because it would be about five or six new people would show up for practice. Fudge walked in, and I didn't know who he was, but I can spot out a running back anywhere. And just by body type, how they are, how they run. And when Fudge walked in, everybody started this little big craze about him. And at that point in time, I was starting to catch my stride a little bit with the team. I had started a couple games. I started to feel at home at the position. And Fudge came in, and I didn't really like him at all. I thought he was a big hot shot. Everybody knew he was Rookie of the Year in the IFL. He had a lot of success. But I looked at that threat, like, who is this guy trying to take my spot? Instead of not understanding the big picture that he could help, because he was a veteran and I was a rookie. And the first thing he told me was, you got to get spacing. And in my head, I'm like, I said, yes, yeah, you're right. In my head, I'm like, who is he talking to? Who is he trying to talk to? Who is this guy trying to give me advice? As time went on, me and him started to talk more. I started to really understand where he was trying to come from. Fudge is a guy that can play this game. Unfortunately, got at the league, and he ended up having a knee injury. And he could have been a guy that could definitely help an NFL team just by his sheer talent and his knowledge of the game. And sharing the backfield with him is an honor. I learned so much from him. We have two different running styles, but we both learn from each other, and we both help each other out. Anytime he comes off the field, he's telling me what he sees. Anytime I come off the field, I'm telling him what I see to help him and to help me. get better. I was Dodge City the first and only time that we played them. The first half, I didn't have a very good first half, and he came to me at halftime, and he talked to me in a way that I'd never been talked to before, and it hyped me up, and it got me really back in the game and refocused, and I ended up throwing a long touchdown in the game to help us extend our lead. Unfortunately, we lost that game, which we shouldn't have, but it was all because of Fudge on that. Because if he didn't give me that talk, I don't know if that play would have happened. And sharing the backfield with him, like I said, is an honor. He's such a great player, both on and off the field. He's a great person, and I'm happy to have him as a teammate.
Yeah, that is something I've noticed, and I seem to say it every week, and the fans have even caught on to it too, is that the Revolution are not just a group of great athletes who play well together as a team, but you guys have such a family-like environment. You're always looking out for each other and always just pushing each other's buttons just enough to make people step up at certain times. And it's really, you can actually see it in the way you guys play.
Oh, yeah. And that's a credit to everybody, but like I said, that's one of the big changes that was from last year. I mean, I came in with a class of about six or seven rookies, actually. And I'm the only one left standing. Some of them have gone on to better endeavors. Some of them have gone on to different teams. And some of them aren't playing right now. And unfortunately, I wish it was different. I wish they all were here. But it didn't end up like that. But last year didn't feel like a family. We felt like a family together as rookies. But as far as the team feeling like a family, it wasn't like that at all. Because it's, like I said, different people every week. This year, completely opposite ends of the spectrum. Everybody messes with each other. Everybody tries to help each other out, no matter what position. We always pray together at the end of practice. We always talk with each other. Credit to Coach Wyman for making, and all the coaches, Terry Glenn, Jim Welter, Coach Big Ray, all making a impact on us and making it feel like we can come to them at any point in time. Last year, we felt like that. This year, we feel like I can come to practice and actually talk and actually express myself without being judged, made fun of, or shunned away. And this year's Revolution, I'm very, very proud and honored to be on this team.
Well, and since you brought her up, because she has been a pretty integral part on this show as well, and she's just a true gem of a person for sure. But what's it been like having Jen Welter as a teammate and now ultimately a coach?
Oh, Jen has been fabulous. Jen is, it's one thing to say, yeah, I know the girl running back. I know the woman running back, the first woman running back, this, that, and the third. But it's another thing to actually have a conversation with her, spend every practice with her, share the same field with her. Last year when she first came on, I was still in Connecticut when I got signed, and I didn't know how to take it. I didn't know if it was a publicity stunt or are they for real? I didn't know what to think. But when I came down, I came with an open mind. It was a new opportunity for me. I got a chance to meet her, talk to her, and she knew the game, which a lot of people don't think that she does. She does. She knows a lot, both the men and women's game. She's opened up to us a lot of the struggles that she's had with the women's game. And obviously a lot of people say, oh, women play football? You mean the LFL, the Lingerie Football League? No, women do play football full pads just like us. It may not be as intense and as publicized, but it's the same game. They put the pants on just like we do. As far as her being a coach, she's doing awesome. She's coaching the linebackers right now, but she also has input on as a running back and as everybody. She's a big influence in keeping us positive and trying to keep us together. As far as coaching, she's held her own. I know different people make fun of her for it. She doesn't care. She is awesome. And that things can happen and dreams do come happen. Dreams can happen and dreams do come true. That's what I meant to say. He is also a big influence in getting to believe. And he's a living example of women can be in sports. He's awesome. I worst can explain. On the second field, myself first.
And also one of the new faces, or I guess she's super new. What's it been like having Catherine Dunn do the Inside the Revolution segments each week?
Oh, it's been pretty cool. We didn't have that last year, so it's such a great aspect of the game that we didn't have last year. I met her preseason. We did an interview with her, and I know that she doesn't have the opportunity to come to practice and do the every day-to-day movements of the Revs. But on game day, I see her in the stands, always talking to the fans, and definitely have after the game doing the interviews. I definitely think she needs to get more face time on the big screen for the hard work that she does. So she's been such an asset towards it, and I hope hope they continue it, and I hope she comes back.
Yeah, I think she's almost a natural at doing that. She seems to take to it really well, and it doesn't hurt that she, like I've said before, she spends with her day job. She spends time around one of my favorite people in the world, Mark Cuban. So that's never a bad thing.
Not at all. Not at all.
Let's see. What's the most important attribute to playing running back?
Cool. My answer has changed over the years. As you grow in level, in the beginning in youth football, it was speed. If you're faster than anybody, you won't get caught. You'll score, and most likely you're probably the best player on the field. When high school came around, it was can you obviously speed, but can you pick up a blitz? Can you catch the ball out of the backfield? Can you make people miss? Then in college, it was see all of that speed, blocking, catch the ball at the backfield. Can you watch film? Can you motivate your teammates? So it's changed. And now in the pro game, my vision and being able to see things before they happen. And I personally think that vision is a big, 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 big piece of being a running back, because if you can see where you're supposed to go, you'll do it. If you're running like a chicken with your head cut off, you're probably going to end up getting tackled in the backfield. And you won't see the certain cuts and the certain holes that open up late. You won't see that blitzing linebacker coming through the hole late. You won't see an open hole to sit down in for your quarterback to dump it off to you before he gets sacked. So I definitely think vision is a big, big piece of it.
I would definitely agree, and I believe three or four of you guys have said vision. I would definitely agree on that. Wayne Gretzky made a career out of vision, so.
Yeah, I mean, it correlates to all sports. I mean, basketball, Kyrie Irving's dribbling down the middle of the court and sees LeBron James streaking, but he doesn't look to him. He sees him in his peripheral vision, but he doesn't look at him directly, throws it up, nice alley-oop. Definite advantage to them on that play, so the defense doesn't react. So I personally think vision is a big, big piece of being a running back, and I think it's one of my better qualities personally.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. What's the difference in this season and last season for you?
On a personal note or team-wise?
Either way. Or both?
I'll start off on the team-wise because I'm a team guy. Team-wise, we believe we can win. Last year, we didn't believe we could win in any game. We have the talent. Our talent is a lot better. You mentioned it earlier, our family atmosphere. We actually hang out outside of football. The coaching staff actually cares about us. Not saying the coaching staff didn't last year, but they actually take an investment and they show it. Last year was the same. Personally, I get the game better What I mean by that, I understand it. I know where the moving pieces go. Last year I was more of an outdoor running back playing indoor. Now I'm more of an indoor running back trying to get back outdoors, if that makes sense. And it's always, and it happens all the time. When you're playing a sport that's a little bit faster, a little bit different, the first time you play it will be a mess. And then the second year you play it, everything slows down. And that's what happened to me in college. It happened to me in high school. It happened to me in youth football. It always happens. And every year you play, the better and better you get. So I'm very excited to see where my career continues to go. This year I'm a lot more confident when I get the ball in my hands. I'm starting to feel like junior year Jordan Brown, not freshman year Jordan Brown last year, or rookie year Jordan Brown. So I think that's a big difference.
Yeah, I can definitely see that difference too. I guess for lack of a better word, it's the maturity of being in the same place for now going on the second year, where you can kind of, it's easier to get your bearings under you and realize where you need to go, where before you're kind of the new kid in town, you're trying to figure out where your place is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's last year you were trying your best to impress the coaches instead of just having fun. Now this year you're having fun. You don't have the worry and the pressure of the coaches getting, obviously, no coach wants to get mad at their players, or a player want to mess up where a coach gets mad at them, but the encouragement to go fast, and if you're going to make a mistake, make it going fast. Not if you're going to make a mistake, you're getting pulled. That's not the pressure at all this year. And to embrace the moment and take seize of the opportunity that you have. I mean, this game, your window to play this game is so short. So take advantage of every play. It's so cliche to say, but play every play like it's your last. But it's so true. Because you never know when your last play could be. So it's such an honor to play for this team. Personally, I can't wait to get the ball again, because I feel like every time I do get the ball, special things happen. It's a blessing to play for this team.
Definitely so. I would definitely agree with that. We'll try to rifle through these last few questions, because I looked back over Brett's questions for you coming up, and I really think the fans are going to get a kick out of those too.
All right.
What motivates you?
What motivates me? To get out. I am a diamond in the rough that has not been found yet. And probably the shiniest one. I always say that to myself. I really feel like I can give a lot to this game. What motivates me to play is the people around me, the people that have believed in me from day one. My mom, my dad, my whole family, my football coaches that have invested their time in me, all the way down to my friends and all the way up to my lovely lady, Noah Justin. She always puts all the encouragement into me to play to the best of my ability, and I play for them. Coach always says, play for somebody other than yourself, because once you start playing for yourself, you won't make it far. All right? So find that inner motivation. I'm not going to lie to you. I want to be an NFL star. I want to make it to the Hall of Fame, because everywhere I've gone and every level that I've played at, I've been a winner, and I've been successful. So why stop now?
I can definitely see that. You are a driven person, and that's definitely an admirable attribute for sure. What's something others might not know about you?
I've been to the Indy 500 12 times.
Wow.
Yeah. Not many people know about me. I do love to cook as well. If I wasn't doing football, I would have went to culinary school, because I love cooking. I love food, period. But yeah, I love cooking. And I would love, to go back on that race car point. I wanted to go to racing school for a couple of years when I was younger, but now we know that didn't happen.
It's quite all right. I think it your athleticism still paid off. Do you have any fitness or nutrition tips?
Yeah, water. drink a lot of water. Really, as you get older, your body metabolism, especially the athletes that are listening, your metabolism slows down. There's no clock on it. You never know when it will start slowing down, but you'll notice when it is. So definitely watching what you eat, because eating is a big, big piece of staying in shape, and all converts down to injuries. It's all about stretching, putting the right ingredients into your body, because your body is your biggest investment. If you don't take care of it, it'll break down. Just like any car would. You don't put the oil change, you don't stretch. Just it correlates together. You don't feed your body, it's just like not eating before you go work out. It's all correlates together, and you really need to watch what you eat, drink a lot of water, fluid, your vitamin, and work out. You do all those things, you'll be successful, and your body will be healthy for when you need it to push a little harder than it usually does. Go a little harder than it usually does. When you're in fourth down or you're in the fourth quarter and you're tired, can you go longer than your opponent? It all stems back to what you ate that Monday. Did you eat something greasy and nasty, or did you eat something a little bit more healthy that can push you through?
I could definitely see that. And as my weekly shout out to Mr. Matt Lunsford, I have so many marketing ideas that I would like to run past him in case he ever wants to fly me out that direction. I'd love to sit and chat with him. But that's another joke into itself, I think, as far as me joking about jumping out there. But at the same time, the main one that I like is, why not put together a revolution, get all the players and coaches in a fitness or nutrition book or video or something like that, so that you guys can show everybody what you guys do and give everybody tips and try to get everybody in better shape.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, it's honestly, we can even start as small as doing a calendar. Every month, have a food group or a certain food that they work on. You have a revolution player talking about it, eating it, have a picture of it, and maximize the game. I mean, and then at the game, we have all those commercials and between timeouts. Every game has a nutrition fact of the week or a nutrition fact of the game or whatever, and have a revolution player talk about a certain food group or a certain food that is good for you, all the way from your perishable items, the greens, all the way up to milk, eggs, dairy products, the sweets. I mean, so some sweets are good for you. I mean, not like all sweets are bad. I mean, hey, I have a sweet tooth myself. I can't stay away too long.
Well, it comes down to everything in moderation, pretty much. And as soon as people kind of come to that realization that everything in moderation, just don't overdo it on something and make sure you're not leaving something out. You know, a little bit of sweets here and there is not going to hurt you.
Yep. I agree.
What's your favorite play you've been a part of?
Cool. I'm going to be a little biased here, but my favorite play that I was a part of was in college, my junior year. We were playing Sacred Heart University at home. We were down by a touchdown. We were down by six, and we stopped. Our defense did an excellent job of stopping them, and they punted it off. They punted. I was back deep with one of my other best friends, Jeremy Woodson. He told me before the guy kicked it off, he said, "You got the juice. You got the juice." And if people know what movie that's from, or that quote that's from. From Juice, actually, from that starred Tupac and Omar Epps, and
yep.
I thought it was hilarious. But when he said that, I didn't realize what he meant. And when the ball dropped in my hands, it felt like something took over, because the wall of people that were blocking was on the right, and I decided to go up the middle to the left. and for some odd reason did not get touched one time. And I don't, like I said, I don't know what took over, but I ran the fastest I've ever ran. I dipped and dived and juked and got to the end zone and won the game for us. Like I said, I'm being a little biased, but that was probably one of the best plays I've ever been a part of because everybody loves scoring the winning touchdown.
And oh, absolutely. And to quote a favorite movie of mine, I guess that could be Divine Intervention.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Being able to take over at times when somebody needs to take over. And we all, as athletes, want to have that quality to be able to take over at any point in time. Michael Jordan had it. LeBron James has it. Tom Brady has it. Being able to control a game at any point in time and to go the direction you want it to go.
Absolutely. Now, did you get to pick your number 22, or was that given to you when you joined the team?
It was given to me when I joined the team, but I love it. It has a good meaning to it, two good meanings to it. My teammates call me Emmitt Smith. They call me Emmitt when I'm running the ball, which I think
kind of hard to say no to that one.
Yeah, you can't after a Hall of Famer. And it also represents the day that my girlfriend and I got started dating. It'll be 5 years on Friday, so I wear that on my back every time I go out there, so I remember those two things.
Well, congratulations to you two on that.
Thank you.
I actually just had my fourth wedding anniversary just a couple days ago, so I definitely know about that.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. But back to you, of course, because that's the point of the show. I probably just lost 10 female viewers now that they know I'm taken. What's it like being a role model?
Oh, it's all fabulous. I mean, being a role model is such a good feeling to see the smiles on kids' faces, even parents' faces, to see an athlete change their perception of what athletes usually are, because a lot of people have this perception that athletes are above the law. They can do whatever they want. They're jerks, and they aren't people. They aren't people friendly. And to be able to change that perception is awesome. Every time we have after the game to have the fans come on the field, that is such an awesome experience to sign autographs, to see kids come up to you and look at you like you're NFL stars, which you need to practice yourself to be one, but to be able to sign a ball for a kid and he run to his mom and say, look, mom, look what number 22 did for me. It's such a rewarding experience, and that's what it's all about, to give back to the younger generation and to be able to teach them that this can be you one day, that you should want more in life, not to what you have right now. And what we're doing is to pave the way for others later on down the road. Not only the kids that aren't our children, but the children that you will have in the future. Because I'm telling you right now, when I have a couple sons, they will be the best prepared football players to ever take a step on this earth.
Absolutely. I definitely like that, and I believe you on that one. Because mine will be as well, whether they want to play football, whether they want to dig ditches, whether they want to be president. Whatever they are, they will be the most prepared they can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see here. All right, let's go and knock this one out. What are your goals for your football career and then life after football? Because unfortunately, at some point, everybody has to step away from the game.
Yes, it will. Like I said, unfortunately, everybody does have to step away. But right now, I still want football. My ultimate goal is to make it to the NFL, to be an impact on a team, whether it's special teams, their starting running back, their third down running back. I just want to have a legitimate role where I can become an impact on the team. Currently, I'm I feel like I'm fulfilling that role with the Revs, with the role that I've been given, sharing the backfield with Fudge and coming in as a change of pace back. And I've adopted that role and embraced it and not hate on it. A lot of people think that, well, why can't I be the star? Why can't I be the person getting the ball every time? That's the selfishness. You can't have that. No team needs that. You have to have people that are willing to be more Indians than Chiefs, if that makes sense. As far as making personal goals, I want to continue to be one of the best running backs in the CIFL and on my way to becoming one of the best running backs known to man. I was able to leave my mark on Bryant University's campus, and I feel like I can do that with the Texas Revolution, and I can like I could do that either in the CFL or the NFL. I also want to be able to start my own charity through football, and I also want to be able to give back to kids and help them achieve their dreams through football. As far as outside of football, I currently work at CDW, which is the number one IT resale company in the United States. I'm an account manager for them, and I definitely see myself working there for many, many years. And I want to grow within that company as well and ultimately become a director somewhere at either the office I'm at right now or a new office. I love being the leader. I love being in front and what comes with that, the good and the bad. And I'm not afraid of it. I just want to become a person that, like I said, makes an impact on life and on other people's lives, whether on and off the field.
That's awesome. I love when I hear answers like that, and especially believable answers. We all know you're not blowing smoke or nothing like that. We can see, like I said, how driven you are into you know, making an impact and not just an impression on the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to draw a fine line when, I mean, in this world, closed mouths don't get fed. So you got to be a little selfish. But it also is applauded when you share what you have with others. And I'm all about that. I learned that from my parents, especially my father, Robert Brown, the Rob V. I know he's not listening right now, but I definitely passed this radio show over to him so he could listen to it. But just to take a quick moment to talk about him and my mother, they have been the ultimate role models. I model my life after him. I have certain qualities that my mom that have gotten me past a lot of tough points in my life. They are such a great, great impact on not only my life, but my little brother and my little sister and everybody they come in contact with. My mom always comments on the charisma that my dad has, and fortunately, I've had that quality come over to me, and I've had that comment from a lot of people that the charisma I have with others to make them feel welcome is not fake, it's real, and that is one thing I really pride myself on, is making people feel like they can conquer the world through your actions.
Well, we'll definitely give the shout out right now to your mom and dad and little brother and little sister if they're listening, or if they listen down the road, or even if you're just friends of theirs and you want to let them know, we just gave them a shout out, definitely, because you helped mold Jordan into a definitely not only a gentleman but a scholar as well, and a pretty good football player.
I appreciate it, man.
We got three more, and then we'll get into Brett's questions, and then I will let you back onto your merry way and having a good evening out there. Favorite football movie?
Favorite football movie. I have a couple. One includes a TV show.
Okay.
I'll start off with the TV show. Friday Night Lights is probably one of my favorite TV series. Unfortunately, it's off the air right now. But I personally think that every high school football player should watch that series, either while you're in high school or leading up to it, because it teaches you so much and it shows you yeah, it's TV and a lot of, obviously, the whole thing is staged, but it's so real. And there's so many stories outside of the game that it teaches you that every high school kid will go through. As far as movies, Any Given Sunday is one of my favorites. The Program is one of my favorites. And the Friday Night Lights movie, Boobie Miles. That was my man, my main man, Boobie Miles, before he got hurt. And it's crazy that he tore his ACL and I tore mine. So his story and my story definitely correlate with each other. But those are my three favorite. I really don't have one that is my absolute favorite, but those are the three.
I think those are really great ones because everybody always mentions the three or four most popular ones a lot of times, you know, the Rudies and the stuff like that. But yeah, I'm a Any Given Sunday guy for sure. Give me Screaming Willie Beeman any day.
Willie Beeman, yes, sir. And you can't forget about Remember the Titans. I mean, that's a classic.
That's true. That was actually filmed, part of it was filmed at the high school while I attended that high school. I unfortunately was one of the few of my friends who did not partake in being in that movie. But, yeah, they filmed a lot of that at the high school while I was attending it. So, that one's kind of, I guess it's a second or third on my list.
Yes, that's awesome. That's a really cool experience. You can't forget about Remember the Titans. It teaches you a lot. And what movie without Denzel, I mean, with Denzel, you can't like. So
it's true. I think he could be an ice cream man and we still like it.
Oh, my God, I'm selling the whole world for every ice cream he had in his truck.
Yeah, exactly. Your favorite celebrity that you've met?
Oh, that's a good question.
Now I will say, small disclaimer, according to the producers, we took a poll before we started tonight, Matt Lunsford does qualify as an answer.
Well, shout out to Matt, but he's not my favorite. Okay, Kendrick Lamar. I met Kendrick Lamar backstage at a concert. He's an awesome guy, awesome dude. Short, but he's very genuine, and he really speaks. He's what his music is about. Him, and then I've met Allen Iverson before too.
Oh wow, so, I'm a huge AI fan.
Yeah. Especially with this new documentary movie that came out, Iverson. Hopefully, you got a chance to watch it. But if I was a basketball player, that would be the game I would model myself after. It's his game.
I will have to check that documentary out. I did not realize it was out, so I'll have to check that one out. And then last question as far as the ones I have. Who would you like to meet?
Oh, LeSean McCoy. If I meet LeSean McCoy, my life would be over. My life would be complete. All right. If I meet LeSean McCoy, my life would be complete. He is... I don't know if you got a chance to watch his E60, but he's another guy that.
Yeah, I did see that one.
Yeah, his story and my story definitely go hand in hand. And where he was today, it's funny, but the prep school, Milford Academy that he went to, I had a chance to go to, and I decided not to go to. I decided to go to Bryant. So it would have been funny because he probably has gone back there to visit. Yeah. I saw LeSean McCoy play in college when he was playing for Pitt when they played UConn. And that was the first time I got to see him play, and he had an excellent game. And I was like, who is this guy? And it just so happened the Eagles drafted him, and I was like, wow. And he's become such a star. But I model my game after him as well. I watch his highlights before every game just to get the motivation and to get in my head that I am the best on the field. And, yeah, if I would meet him, it would be wonderful.
Well, it just so happens that in week one, I'm going to do my best to try to meet him myself because he's not with Philadelphia. I will have to wait till Buffalo comes this way. Dang, I was getting ahead of myself. Man, I'm gonna have to relook at that schedule and see if I can catch a Buffalo game, because I like Rex Ryan myself, and I think there's a reason why he added Shady McCoy. He's not dumb.
Oh no, 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 not at all. Let's be real here. Rex Ryan's been in. He's a big guy and a big advocate of defense and pounding the ball.
Yep.
Case in point, that's why Sean Green's better years in the NFL were with the Jets when he was head coach.
Yep, absolutely. And now we will move to those questions from Mr. Brett Reese Jr. for you. And like I said, it's something I like to do. It's something I come up with just for this show. It is the only show in the history of anything I've done, let alone just Impact Media, that this concept's being used. So I'm looking forward to somebody ripping me off soon with it. But for anybody at Fox or ESPN that would like me to do it live, I can do it on their shows as well. But I take the previous guests and I have them come up with questions for the current guests. So without further ado, we will get into question one for you, Jordan, from Brett, and that is, how jealous are you when he scores touchdowns instead of you?
No, not jealous at all. I'm more happy that we scored, but I know my time is coming throughout the game. It's a long game. So when he does score, I'm happy. But I know for a fact if it's early in the game, when I get the ball, it'll happen eventually.
All right, and his second question, which is a follow-up, because you can really see his humor here. Now, what is your real answer?
The same one as before. Like I said, not jealous at all, because if you're jealous, if your teammate scores, you shouldn't be on the team.
Exactly. I absolutely agree, and I think any of your teammates would answer the exact same way. Points on the board is points on the board.
Absolutely.
Question number three, and I'm sure he means this in the most positive way. He's having fun with it, I think. How does it feel to be Fudge's fullback? Which technically, the defensive player of the CIF of the week that I just mentioned earlier, McCullough, has technically been signed as the fullback, but I think he meant before this.
Yeah, well, they make jokes because Fudge is not the one to block, and I'll stick my head every so often. I'm more willing to Fudge, and anybody will tell you that on the team. But they've made certain jokes because last year I was a little smaller and I put a little bit more weight on, and got in the weight room a little bit, so they think I'm a little fullback now, but. Like I said before, I don't mind sharing the backfield with Darius Fudge at all.
Apparently management and the coaching staff don't believe you're a fullback because they signed a fullback and let you run.
Exactly. So as long as the people that are making the call and shot think differently, we're okay.
Absolutely. And his last one, and once again, this is Brett's humor for sure. He wants to know, how is it possible to move in your jeans? You have some of those skinny jeans? Is that what you're rocking out in the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
Well, the reason why is because at work I gotta dress appropriately. So I've bought some clothes and some pants that are a little bit more form-fitting than others would like. So I always get a little push back from a lot of my teammates, but they always compliment on how I dress. Maybe it's the East Coast thing. You see a lot more East Coast people dressing like that than I'm here. But I'll bring a little certain style to everybody. Everybody will start catching on sooner or later.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that. Everybody will start be the trendsetter. Before you know it, they'll all be wearing it. You just look and go, can't make fun of me if you're doing it too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, for sure. And that'll do it for all the questions between me and Brett that we have for you. And as I said, we will go ahead and break the news of who is on next week, and that will be your teammate. I hope I say his last name right. I've been trying to look it up. Roy, is it Richard or Richard?
Yeah. Roy Richard.
Roy Richard. Okay, that's what I thought it was, and I'd heard
Yep.
one report to the contrary, so I wanted to make sure. I don't, Roy, I'm not trying to say your name wrong, but Roy Richard will actually be on next week, so I will get with you, Jordan, between you know, now and before next Tuesday's show when I have Roy on, to come up with, you know, just a couple questions that you would have for him, and they can be playful and fun, or they could be actual things you'd like to know about him. Just, you know, I leave it open to you guys to go whichever direction you want.
Okay, sounds good.
But I do appreciate you spending some time with us and coming on the show. It was a real blast getting to hang out and chat with you for going on over an hour now. So
Absolutely. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity. It's always a blessing to spread my story with the world, and hopefully there's a link and I can share this with my family.
Yes. Yeah, the links are always up on Facebook and Twitter, and of course here on Blog Talk Radio, and I can also email them personally to you or to anybody else who's listening if they would like the links that way.
Absolutely.
But like I said, I definitely appreciate you coming on, Jordan, and good luck to you and the rest of Revolution and the rest of the year. It's four wins to the trophy, right?
Yes, sir. Four wins.
Yeah, I like that. They came up with the five wins, and when I was on with Sonny Clark and Bill Cerna a couple weeks ago during the bye week, they we were all looking. We were trying to figure out where the five came from because it came across while we were doing the show, and then we realized it was five wins to the championship. Now we're down to four, and I really think it can happen. I believe in you guys, and I know the rest of the Revolution fans do as well. So let's go put four more W's on the board and hoist some more trophies.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, and go Revs.
Absolutely, cannons up. And that was Jordan Brown, the another star running back. Him and Darius Butts share the load in the backfield. Appreciate Jordan coming on. I know you guys enjoy these. I hope you guys enjoy them as much as I do. It's just an absolute blast getting to talk to all these guys. They're all just fantastic people. When we come back from the other side of the break, the infamous game notes, and then we will be out of here. But for right now, I'm Jeremy the Impact Yort. We'll see you on the other side of the break. And we're back here on the Revolution Zone, presented by Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jeremy the Impact Yort. Welcome back. Right now we're going to get into the infamous game notes. That would, of course, be when the San Angelo Bandits come down to the Allen Event Center. Shout out to the Allen Event Center. Great place. I look forward to seeing many events there, not just Revolution games. It seems to be just a great venue for all kinds of stuff. But that's when the San Angelo Bandits did come down to play your Texas Revolution. We're going to start off real quickly in the first quarter. The Revolution had a good, quick opening drive. They seemed to want to push the pace, which I think ultimately tired out the Bandits and allowed them to get on cruise control a little later on. The Revolution were trying to set up the run game early, and when you have Darius Fudge and Jordan Brown, why not? These two guys can easily take over a game when they're running. They were able to do that. One of my dad's favorite plays that he always mentioned was actually used by Robert Kent Jr., and that was the naked bootleg where you run everybody to one side and the quarterback twists around and pretty much waltzes into the end zone, which is exactly what Kent did for the first Revolution score. That made it 7-0 with about 11 minutes to go in the first. The interception by Holmes, I thought was just, he just absolutely picked that up out of the air. It was a duck hanging up there, just reached up and snatched it. And I like that he actually pitched it to Frankie Solomon Jr., who actually was able to get a few more yards, because I think that maybe they had this planned, or maybe it was just a good impromptu thing, but in Holmes pitching it, he became the lead blocker and allowed Frankie to get a handful more yards for sure. Darius Fudge ran one in behind the new running back, as I said, of course, Taylor McCuller came over from the Patriots, so the guy knows what he's doing. Played fullback a lot in this weekend's game. He was signed on Tuesday, ended up being the CIF Defensive Player of the Week. I've actually spoken to him since then to congratulate him, and we're actually going to have him on the show in a couple weeks. So make sure to tune in then as well. That was 14-0 with about 8 minutes to go. Special teams, still, things happen. It's really hard in the indoor league, but they gave up a couple big runs as far as returns, but at the same time, none of them scored, which is ultimately the same. Not the same, but it's ultimately what you're trying to do. You're trying to keep the other team from scoring. That's the point of the defense. The Revs defense was holding strong all day long. They, by far, whether statistically or not, if you see this defense play, they're absolutely the best in the league. They're not even close. I would put them against any of the other indoor teams, whether in the CIF or not. There was a pass touchdown by the Bandits that made it 14-6. Their kicker is not as good as Garrett Palmer, unfortunately for them. Fortunately for us, Garrett Palmer went like, I believe he went like 7-for-8 on extra point tries this week, so shout out to him for sure. It's really hard to kick those, so more power to you for sure. Kent looked ultimately comfortable. He didn't really look like he was in a rush. He never panicked. He always seemed to make the play when he needed to. Not only because he's a good veteran guy, but the guy's good. He ended up scrambling for another touchdown that they tried to call back to the 3 because they said he ran into the dasher board, but he actually didn't. He actually scored. So that made it 21-6 Revolution with about 2 minutes to go in the first. We're almost through the first quarter. We're doing good. Hope you guys can hang out to the fourth. The Revolution defense forced an interception on a busted field goal try. The field goal unit for the Bandits just had issues all night. It seemed like they just never could hike the ball where it needed to be. But either way, their trash was our treasure as the Revolution returned the ball all the way to the 8-yard line. It was a short field goal, too, so that's something the Bandits can work on. Kent did a pitch to Jordan Brown, our guest just a few minutes ago, for the rush touchdown. And it's funny, they like to say that he used the referee as a buffer, but it looked like he was right towards the end, and he was at such an angle that as he was falling forward to the end zone, right there in the corner where the dasher board was the referee. So he kind of rammed himself into that. Whether he did it on purpose or not doesn't matter. It counts for a score. It was a great strategy. And, put points on the board for the Revolution. And, of course, like I said, our guest a little bit earlier, Jordan Brown. So kudos on the score, Jordan, which made it 28-6 Revolution. At that point, 4-for-4 in extra points. About 11 minutes to go in the second. So we're into the second at this point. There was a great goal line stand by the Revolution defense. The Bandits from San Angelo did put the field goal on the board, made it 28-9. If you're scoring at home, Revolution at that point. There was a safety by the Bandits, which I'm glad because not that they got the safety, I'm glad because Kent was kind of wrapped up and he could have fell awkwardly until the second guy wrapped him up from the other side and they fell all at once. It really could have been a bad injury. So in a way, the safety saved a possible injury. Sorry. But that made it 28-11. Revolution with about 6 minutes to go in the half. Pass touchdown by the Bandits, 28-18, with about 3 minutes to go. They started to catch pace and catch a little momentum there. There was a great return by Trent Hicks to the 11-yard line. Trent Hicks is really another guy who stepped up and made a name for himself and really blossomed on this team. And then, of course, Kent to Gaudin for the touchdown, 35-18 with about 2 minutes to go. It was a really quick score right after the great return. special teams can set up all kinds of things, good and bad, for a team. So, you know, that's why sometimes me and Sonny and Bill kind of harp on the special teams. Because sometimes you can win or lose a game between any of those three facets, offense, defense, or special teams. But the Revolution are all putting it together. I'm happy with the way they're doing things. A late run by the Bandits in the last of the half made it 28-21 after a field goal going to the half. Now, the second half seemed to be, it started off similar, but at the same time, it became a different story altogether towards the late third. But we'll get to that in a minute. The Bandits scored a touchdown, made it 35-28 with about 12 minutes to go in the third. Fudge had a lot of great catch and runs. He was able to lay a block a little bit, kind of a, I'm not really sure what you call it, kind of a chip block, and then you spawn out of the backfield, and they were just leaving him wide open, so he was able to take advantage and make some great catch and runs. He ran another touchdown in, to make it 42-28. I believe that made him three on the day. Could be two. I'm not sure real quick. My stat guy's apparently not counting along. We'll address that later. You know, the Bandits pretty much all night long tried for these bombs down the field, but almost every one of them failed. It was just great defense and the fact that the guys weren't open. It doesn't matter how far you throw the ball. If he's not open, he's not open. And, you know, ultimately we were able to capitalize on a lot of those interceptions and pass deflections and stuff like that. I will have to give a shout-out to Mr. Sonny Clark again. I like to give him weekly shout-outs as well, just like Matt Lunsford and ultimately now. Giving them to the eagle-eyed Bill Cerna because he doesn't miss anything on the field. But Sonny actually said that he got to the Allen Event Center a little early, was watching, I think it's Guerrera, I think was his name, the kicker for the Bandits. And when he was kicking past the 15-yard line that was on the other side, not the short one, the longer field goal, he seemed to always come up short. Sonny happened to mention it to a couple of the return guys in Frankie and a couple of the other return guys. So anytime that the San Angelo Bandits went for a long field goal, we would always put somebody back when it was short. They had some great returns following those. Soren had a great return, actually, at this juncture of the thing, of the game, based off that simple fact. So kudos to Sonny on not just being the voice of the Texas Revolution, among all the other things he does, but also being a good scout. If the microphone thing doesn't work out for you, Sonny, you could always be a Texas Revolution scout. I'm sure they would appreciate it. Good fourth down conversion by the Revolution, and obviously the roughing the passer penalty on the Bandit helped as well. Move the ball way down the field. But it was like a 4th and 23 or something like that that was converted already, and then the 15 on top of it. So that helped, and that worked out. Revolution know what they're doing. We know this. Like I said, only 4 wins to the championship. Fudge had another rush touchdown, made it 49-28. Revolution. The safety by the Revolution following that right after that made it 51-28. Soren with the kick return touchdown. It was pretty much the way Jordan described the one he had back during his favorite moment in his football career. The fair play he was a part of that he mentioned. It seemed like nobody was going to touch Soren, and nobody ultimately did. He made it all the way in, 58-28 to that point. There was a rush touchdown by the Bandits, made it 58-34. They started to kind of make a little bit of a run. Another bad snap on the extra point, about 10 minutes to go at this point. The Revolution's still on top. Then Kent went for the downfield bomb to Trent Hicks, who did not miss it. It was Willie Mays-like over the shoulder. Touchdown Revolution there, 65-34 with about 10 minutes to go, 10-20 I believe at that point. It was like a 30-second turnaround between the bad snap and the downfield bomb. Missed field goal by the Bandits, goes back to it again. Their kicker was having a couple issues. I just think he was, kickers have issues sometimes, it happens. I don't think he had to do anything with his skill. He just, between the snaps and everything else, he just couldn't quite put it together. Wormley actually caught his first career touchdown to make it 71-34. Of course, he is an offensive lineman, I believe. And with about 3 minutes to go, he caught that one, 71-34 to this point. The Bandits put another one on the board, 71-41, with about 2.5 to go. Offensive lineman Young was able to get the touchdown catch. I love the offensive lineman rule where one of them could be eligible. You got so many talented guys on this team that everybody can play 3 or 4 different positions. And how many offensive linemen in the National Football League get a chance to score? So, unless you play for the Jaguars, you usually don't get that opportunity. And then Harkless, who is their perennial all-star anyway, had the touchdown late to make it 78-48, which ultimately ended up being your final score as your Texas Revolution put another W on the board, 78-48. And like I said, already gave the shout-out for the CIF Defensive Player of the Week in Taylor McCullough. Welcome to Rev Nation, of course, and look forward to talking with you here in the next couple weeks. Catching up on anything else you need to know, the game this weekend will be it's a Friday night game. May the 29th, and that's it says the New Mexico on your schedule if you're on the Texas Revs, if you're on TexasRevs.com, but that is not correct. It'll be the Duke City Gladiators will be coming to the Allen Event Center, and don't sleep on Duke City, but I think the Revolution can stifle the Gladiators and put up another, that actually be the last game, I think. It's the Revolution are going to go to the Amarillo Venom, and I believe they can beat the Venom in the same way. I think they can stifle the Venom, but it's going to be a fun game. That one's actually on Saturday. That was my mistake. I was looking too far ahead. I can't look too far ahead. That's my fault on that one. But this Saturday, of course, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 8 o'clock on the East Coast for our East Coast listeners right now, Revs in the Venom, it's always a good Titan battle. I look forward to watching it. And that's actually going to do it for me this week. It's a fun interview. All these interviews are real fun. And Jordan, for sure, if at some point he's not playing the game of football, he could easily be an I think he could easily do media. I think he could easily be a coach on top of working for CDW, one of the better companies in the U.S. But so shout out to Matt Lunsford. Shout out to Jordan Brown. Shout out to Catherine Dunn. Shout out to Jen Welker, Bill Cerna, Sonny Clark. Shout out to Revs Nation. Shout out to the Revolution. And while we're at it, shout out to the people who made Friday Night Lights, because that is amazing, and Screaming Willie Beeman for sure, and also shout out to Allen Iverson. I'm going to have to check out your documentary, but that's going to do it for me this week. I think I've given a shout out to everybody. If I didn't, hopefully I encompassed you in some of the general ones, but I am the Impact Jeremy York. Thanks for joining us here at the Revolution Zone. We'll see you next week.